Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Beautiful sounds coming there from Neville D. For my good. You are listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It is Heart to Heart with Miss Wengile Mofokeng with you up until 3 o'clock. And it's exactly 26 minutes just before 2 right here on the airwaves of 657 AM. I see you over to Ferdinand James van Zyl. Hello to you. Thank you so much for joining in and being with us. Thank you so much. We love you too, Obud. And on the line, I'm excited to be talking to Ma, Dr. Pearl Coupe, and we are talking about our rights as civilians as well. We are going to check all sides. We read, a story. I came across this article yesterday, and this morning I saw it again, and I think we were talking about it as a family as well. And I went to the person's who's on the article. I went to his Facebook to find out more, and then I was interested to know more because it was kind of shocking. I think sometimes we think we have the rights to do certain things, only to find that maybe the bylaws are saying no, or maybe the bylaws are saying yes, but we are not aware, and we need to know our rights. Dr. Pearl Coupe, Mama, how are you?
I'm blessed, my dear, and a great big good afternoon to all the Radio Pulpit listeners. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Wow. It's always awesome to learn at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he says we ought to be wise, Mama, as serpents as well. As much as we are humbled, but we also have to be wise. And so we came across this article of Ndade, now his
Nguna.
Surname,
Nguna,
yes, who planted, who's feeding the community. He has a garden in his yard. He has a garden at the pavement outside, just outside. I think I know from an early age that there are parts that are said to belong to the municipality. But we are not aware of certain things that we ought to do in those spaces. Like, he just planted his cabbages there, and the community is happy because he's feeding the community through that as well. Now it is said that he has violated that space. It belongs to the municipality, and he was fined 1,500 for that. It said that he has to, he was supposed to plant grass and trees. And I found out that there are many who are doing that. So, Mama, let's start here, because I think most of us are not even aware of these. Some are not aware. Where does the municipality start when it comes to our yard? Which parts do we own, and which parts are owned by the municipality?
Well, the municipality, there's actually a piece of legislation that deals with zoning and all those issues. So it determines, like, from so many yards from the pavement, for instance, you're not supposed to be, I don't know the exact amount, whether it's 1.5 meters or something like that. But there are regulations around that. But I also wanted to talk about the legal perspective, because, this case is a very tragic case, Bongi. It's very tragic in the sense that, like you said, this is somebody who was planting vegetables to go and give to people in Soshanguve. His wife was feeding people in Soshanguve. So there's two aspects for me to the story. There's the legal side, and then there's a moral and ethical side, which we also have to look at. And then I think we also have to look at the aspect that actually many of us, like you've rightly said, are actually not obeying, are in contravention of those bylaws. And one of the things I would want to find out from SAPS is that, are you going to arrest everybody now? Because one of the things that did you know that it's illegal to, for instance, burn refuse in your yard?
No.
Yeah. So when I was going through the bylaws today, I also discovered that if you burn refuse, etc., you don't have permission. There's a fire brigade law that does not allow you to. And how many of us have done that? How many people have done that, burning refuse innocently? So, we have to look at those questions. That I just want to take us through some of the legal questions and stuff, and just talk about what should the resolution be in this instance. Now, in law, we have something that's called strict liability legislation, that's legal. So what that means is that if you've contravened a basic law, it's a strict liability. There's like, you just are fined for that. So for instance, if you're found not wearing a seatbelt, it doesn't matter what your reason is, Waban. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you can't tell the police officer, no, I took it off for this reason, or it was hurting me, or this.
You're contravening the law.
Exactly. It's what we call strict liability. So it's imposed on you, strict liability. And so I have a feeling, unfortunately, that this is one of our strict liability laws where they would ask, did he plant vegetables? Yes. Was it on municipal land? Yes. You know, and the actual charge was, I think, found under the Local Government Municipal Systems Act 2000, Act 32 of 2000, Section 8.1. And the charge he was charged with was in respect of land usage. And he was charged with interfering in any manner to the property of the municipality.
But that is now, so open. That is so huge.
Exactly.
So when he talks about,
I wanted to say that if I was his lawyer and representing him there, because they say interfering. So what I would argue, and what I hope he will argue if they try and take him to court, interfering, there's a legal definition of interfering, legally. Interfering means wrongful conduct that prevents or disturbs another in the performance of his usual activities or in the conduct of his business. So that, I think he should raise that to say, how was he preventing or disturbing the municipality from performing their usual activities? You know, that's something maybe he should try and raise in his defense, because I'm not sure that he was interfering within the legal definition of interfering. And I think maybe SAPS, South African Police, may have a difficult time trying to prove interference according to the legal definition. But I do want to say this, from a legal, from a moral an ethical perspective, it is a very sad case. It's very wrong. I believe that there are serious and serial criminals roaming around there. We have people, murderers and rapists out there on the streets. And I think that our police force, as much as there are many who are doing great.
Now, when you go to Mabopane site, and I've seen it in happening in other townships, not only Mabopane, I think I've seen it in Soweto as well, where you would find there's a yard and there's a street, like there are houses, then there is a road, tar road, and across that, people have planted, they got gardens and gardens and gardens. What happened there? Does it mean that people bought that land? People need to buy the land first, get the right to plant on your pavement? What's happening? What should we know as civilians, as people?
That's the very thing, actually, I wanted to raise, to say that, you know, this could be looked at as discriminatory, because if SAPS doesn't arrest everybody who has not complied, and I can guarantee you that there are hundreds of thousands of people who have done the same.
So all of us who are doing that are not complying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That there's a non-compliance issue in terms of the law, of the legislation. I do believe that, I think there's a section in the legislation that I've just quoted to you, which allows for applications to be made under the land use scheme. You know, to be granted, to be given consent or permission for temporary use or relaxation of the law, and, you know, for approval. So I think that's something maybe in Tatenguna. My own recommendation, Bongi, would be this, that the police actually sit down with Tatenguna and maybe the relevant municipality officials, and they sit down and assist him in making that application under the land use scheme. Because really, it's going to be ridiculous, because, you see, if Ntatenguna persists in not paying the 1,000 fine, even if he pays the fine, to be honest with you, in paying the fine, it means that it's an admission of guilt.
Okay.
And if it's an admission of guilt, it means that he will have a criminal record.
What about, okay.
And,
yeah?
Yeah. And the criminal record also has implications. So I can understand why he doesn't want to pay that. I'm sure it's not because he doesn't have that money. But there are implications of having a criminal record, which, for instance, if you want to travel, they ask you questions. Have you, you know, have you previously been convicted of a crime? So you will not get visas. It will affect your ability to get a job because when you apply for a job, they do HR, does a background check on you if to see if you have a criminal record. So I can well understand why Ndatinkuna would not want to pay this fine because it now qualifies as an admission of guilt and will give him a criminal record, likely give him a criminal record. So it's got very serious implications for some people out there who might be saying, "Ah, why is Apadele fella? Let him just pay that 1.5 It's more than that because the record remains, your criminal record remains valid for 10 years.
Ten years. And we do not hear of any removal of property from of the municipality, no damage to it and all
There's
of
no
that.
There's no damage to it. Absolutely. Okay. And you see that this is another thing for a criminal. When you are looking at a criminal charge, one of the things you have to ask is what harm? What was the harm that was caused? You know, I mean, in the case of murder, you know, somebody has died. In the case of rape, somebody has been violated. In the case of theft, somebody has lost property. But in this case, who has suffered? Who has suffered? And I think that the SAPS must just look at dropping the charges. If they're not going to charge every one of us in South Africa for contravening, you know, all the hundreds of thousands of people who have contravened, they must drop the charge. And I also think that maybe the municipality also needs to investigate relooking the laws and how these laws are written, you know, amendment of these laws and looking at, is there any room for amendment of these laws? Because truth be told, many of our laws are outdated. Many of our laws, they go back to way back then and they don't have practical application in today's society.
Sure.
So maybe the municipality needs
to look
to at
check
that.
In these, to these. I think now talking to somebody who sees what happened to Ntatenkuna in Soshanguve and asking themselves, am I next? Because this is what I'm doing. What would you advise to that? Because, like I say, I found out that so many, and I was reminded that, when I drive to Mawopane, when I drive in Soweto to Mafikeng, you find a lot of these. So what would you advise? Should we be going to apply for using of that land, or what should be happening?
I think so. I think that is something that people need to do because, like I said, unfortunately, until maybe this law perhaps gets amended, and there's no certainty of that. And even if the law were to get amended, you know that laws take long. It's a process. So it's not going to get amended tomorrow. It's going to take a while. So I would just suggest for people's own sake, for your own peace of mind, etc., just to try and abide with the law just so that, you know, you don't give reason to SAPS. Any reason to SAPS to arrest you and then spend, you know, the next couple of years trying to defend yourself, you know, and because like I say, they will not actually even look at your intentions. If it's a strict liability offense, they don't look at your intentions as wonderful and great as his intentions were. And we're all offended by it. The whole nation is offended by it because this is what nation building is about, Bongi. It's about feeding our neighbors. And so it's offensive that in this time of lockdown, when people are hungry, that there's a law that would now prevent somebody from trying to actually do the job that government is supposed to do, because government is supposed to be feeding its hungry. Well, this is an individual who is trying to take it upon himself to assist government in its responsibility to help its citizens, and now you get arrested for that. It's just very immoral, very unethical, and very unfair.
Now, which steps would one have to take to make sure that they are protected by law as they go to apply? Because
who,
I think
protected?
We who have planted, who are just like Ndatinkuna, and now are like, we need to do something. So where do we begin? What do we do?
Well, like I said, well, first of all, I mean, one has to be familiar with the bylaws and what they say. Like I was saying this morning, even I did not know that fire brigade law, you know, that you're not allowed to burn refuse. Not that I have. I don't know if I personally have, but unless somebody else has, but I haven't. So it takes understanding and knowing the law, because unfortunately there's another principle that ignorance of the law is no excuse. But so I would just encourage citizens to try and know what you can and cannot do. I live in a security estate, so the security estate, often what they do is they give you that information. You see, they'll tell you, you're not allowed to do this, there's so many meters from the pavement, etc. So they keep you in line, but not everybody lives in security estate, and so you would not know. So there is that aspect of you know, we need to keep ourselves educated, but I think also, you know, when it comes especially to any land that is outside of your walls, because you see, you know where your wall would be built if you have a wall? There's a reason why your wall is there. And it is not at the pavement. It could not come to the pavement because that land is actually been demarcated as not really your land, as land for the municipality. Otherwise, if it was your land, you could actually put your wall maybe almost next to the pavement, you know. So I think when it comes to doing anything outside of that land, just be very careful and check what is allowed and what is not allowed. In that instance, just so that you avoid getting yourself into trouble. And if you still want to do something outside of those parameters, go and talk to the municipality, your municipality. Find out what is allowed, what is not allowed, and find out what you can do. If you want to convert that land to your own use, there's something called land use scheme, the land use scheme under Chapter 4. Of the same legislation I cited to you under Chapter 4. Find out if you can actually apply to them to convert the land for that and get permission and be granted approval before you do that, just to avoid any wrangles with the law. And I'm hoping, like I say, that Ntate Nkuna, the SAPS and municipality officials can actually just sit down with him and come to that agreeable solution. Application We'll drop the charges, just apply for this, for the land to be converted, and they would allow him that, because the nation is outraged. We are all outraged. It's wrong, you know, for him to be charged like that. But unfortunately, law.
I think we need a drive, actually, to be taught about the bylaws, because there are certain things that people are not even aware of, that you can't even take fruit from the municipal property. So what if there are fruits at the gate on your pavement, on that tree? And you can't break any timber tree, shrub, brushwood. There are so many things that we are not even aware of. I think most of the time people are just aware of the noise that you can make, how much of it. But we are not aware of much when it comes to the bylaws. What about in our houses, in our yards? How much are we given to can even plow on? Do we know? Do the bylaws say anything about when you are there, we are inside?
The bylaws don't really regulate that much when you're within your premises and yard, except for that aspect where I told you around fire. That is within your yard. You're not allowed to burn refuse and matlakala in your yard. You're not allowed to do that because they say it's a fire hazard or something like that. So that is prohibited even within your own yard. So it's not even on the municipality premises. That's within your own yard. It's prohibited. Yeah.
Sure. I'm just thinking that most of the times also, Ma, I've seen people building without even consulting with municipality.
That's a serious contravention now.
Yeah,
that one.
You just build now, two bedrooms and a garage.
And half our people, you know that half our people in the nation have done that. But that one is a serious...
Without consultation,
Yes, that one is seen in a serious, serious light, that you're supposed to have your plans. So your architect, because even some of our people, that we don't build with architectural plans. It's just felange. Up it goes. But in terms of the procedure, it's your architect is supposed to, after paying for the plans, is supposed to take them for approval. you know, to various, not only the architectural people, there's an association, architectural association, and the municipality. So it's supposed to go through all those lines of approval before you build. But like you rightly said, we've said more than half our people have not done that. They've just felt like, you better extend, and yeah, it's just extension.
But what I've seen happening when it comes to this is that the municipality might come, the inspectors might come and say, tear it all down. Tear it all down, start, do it right. But there's no arrest. There's no fine there. Or maybe they just pay the fine. I'm not quite sure. But they just tell them to tear it down. So I'm asking myself, what's the difference in contravening that law and the one that another person would have something at their pavement as a garden?
Yeah. I mean, there is no, this is why one of the issues I've raised is to say that, you know, it's just so unfortunate because so many people have contravened the same law, but they've not been arrested. So many people. And in this instance, what is so terrible about it and traumatic about it is the person who's been arrested was not even doing it for commercial. He's not benefited from it, Wabon. It's not commercial reasons. But he was actually trying to help people. So you're arrested with a good intention of trying to feed people. That's what's so tragic about the whole thing. And again, I would really urge the SAPs to you know, just to drop the charges and have a conversation with Ndatenguna, with the municipal officials, and see how you can help him. This is something that the government should be partnering with him. To say you want to help feed the nation, let's see how we can get your application approved. Make a formal application, let's approve you so that you can fulfill those good intentions and become the nation builder that you want to build.
Sure. Yeah, I think so many of us are educated today. This case has opened eyes, our eyes. I think we need to get more and more of such teachings, a drive on these, going around even our townships to educate us more on these. Mama, thank you so much. Your closing statements on this issue?
My closing statement is really just to, ask people to pray for Ndatenguna. My heart goes out to him. When my daughter told me the story yesterday, she said, Mama, she was so offended and so was I. And we actually nicknamed him the Cabbage Man. And we just started praying for him in the bathroom, and my daughter started cheering him on. You know, she started following him and saying, go Cabbage Man, go Cabbage Man. But I want to tell you out there, and Ndatenguna, you are a hero. You are a hero, and you are fulfilling the mandate that many of us should fulfill. Our prayers are with you, that the Lord would go ahead and God will be your advocate. Jesus will be your advocate, and that you will be freed with no criminal charge out there, and that many will also be encouraged, inspired to do what you are doing, which is to feed the nation. And I'm pleading with SAPs also to say, SAPs, let's drop the charges. Unless you're going to charge all of us, I think you should drop those charges. And let's look at reviewing the laws and the legislation. Some of these archaic and outdated bylaws, some of them really need to be reviewed. Let's look at doing that. Let's look at reviewing the legislation. So our prayers are with you, Ndatenguna. We love you. We appreciate your heart.
Okay, ma.
And we're praying for a good outcome. Amen.
Thank you so much, ma. Have a blessed one.
Thank you so much for taking up the discussion.
That is Dr. Pearl Kupe, and we are being educated on a daily basis. I think she mentioned something that if you're contravening the law, be it you're doing it with good intentions, but if you're contravening the law, you will face the might of the law. And so we got to learn to do things right, find out more about these bylaws and other things, and make sure that we are within the law's protection. whenever we do something. Whatever that we put up, we are within the protection of the law. And so, yeah, I think it's also giving us a task to find out more from the municipality, get the relevant people to teach us about the bylaws right here on air on Radio Pulpit, so we know what we as citizens, as civilians, what we ought to do, when and how and where, you know, which offers and how would they help us before we can do anything around our yards or around the municipal spaces in our homes. So, yeah, I heard it loud and clear when she said, be it you're doing it for good intentions, but at the end of the day, if you're not protected by the bylaws, then you are in trouble. So let's learn, let's go find out more. And yeah, we'll try to put something together where we have the municipal representatives also talking to us right here to learn some more. Okay, that's how we end it. In a short while, I'm talking to Madam Claudia Sono, and we're talking about the camp that is happening on the 24th, which is it will be, what do we call that day again? What do we call the Heritage Day? So I'll be talking to her in a short while. I'll also be announcing the winners. Now I have their names with me. And I will be telling you who has won a breakfast for two. For those who have registered for the camp that ended yesterday that we had with Mama Dr. Eva Siobi. So I'll be telling you who has won what. I have the names with me. Exciting times are here.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It is 657 AM.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles DeToy and Danny Van Bili, are ready to connect with you today.
At Radio Pulpit, we love the interaction we have with our listeners on all the social media platforms. It is also our way of giving everyone a voice that can be heard all over the world. Unfortunately, we have been experiencing huge difficulties with WhatsApp for a while now, and we are now forced to find a viable alternative. That alternative is called Telegram. Telegram is an app that works exactly the same as WhatsApp, and it uses the same telephone number as well. All you need to do to be able to chat with your favorite presenter is to download the Telegram app onto your phone and send your message or voice note the same way you always did. We will then be able to receive and answer your message faster, and the privacy on this app is much better too. So, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, the app pic is a white paper plane in a blue circle. Please download the Telegram app right away and make life easier for everyone.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.